Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I hope and trust that all is well as we come together in this first worship service, and we are coming to finish off really what we started last week, looking at the importance of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. So if you will turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read just verse 13 and 14 for this morning. Last week we did read from verse 1 to 20. We have an understanding of what's happening here. You can also read at home, but for this morning, verse 13 and verse 14. Luke chapter 2 in the Pew Bibles, page 857. And the title of this message this morning, Glory to God. Read as follows. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Will it not be something great to come across these shepherds as they are on their way to Bethlehem after this incident where they saw the glory of God shining around them, as chapter 2 tells us? Will it not be great to meet them as they are going to Bethlehem, as they are going to see this child? Maybe you will ask the question when you meet them, as you see the smile on their faces, there is excitement on their faces. Then you ask them the question, what is going on? Why is it that you are so happy today? Then they answer you, they say, an angel came to us and he said to us, Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Christ, the Lord. As you try to think about that, as you try to process that, as you are trying to make sense of that, one of the shepherds continues to say to you, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. What great news will that be? But then you are left with a question that you need to answer yourself. Really, in this exciting news that they are telling to you, what part of the message actually grabs your heart? What part of the message catches your attention? Because in many churches these days, it will be the mentioning of angels. Perhaps you, Sovereign Grace Bible Church, a new city Baptist Church, perhaps to you it will be the gospel itself, the gospel preached to this despised group of shepherds, and also this great revelation that the primary purpose of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is to, or was to, bring glory to God. That is the primary purpose of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to God. And this morning I would like us to consider this glory to God in two areas. First, as they sing, we hear two things. First, glory in the highest, and secondly, on earth peace. Glory in the highest, on earth peace. Glory in the highest. What comes in your mind as you hear this phrase, glory in the highest? Because this is a phrase that speaks of God's honor. This is a phrase that speaks of God's brightness, of God's splendor. This is a phrase that speaks of the infinite perfection of God, the infinite perfection that you see in the majesty of God. It speaks of God's complete joy. That's what you need to get when you hear the phrase glory in the highest. So this child reveals and it displays the glory of God, the child that is born, reveals and comes to display the glory of God. In other words, through this son or through this child, for the first time in the history of humankind, for the first time, God is going to receive glory from a fallen land. For the first time, the glory of God will ascend from the earth unto heaven. Because it never happened before. For the first time, God will be known as God. God will receive glory from the creatures, His people that He created, through the Son, through this Lord Jesus Christ. The very glory which Adam failed to bring to God. The very glory which most people in this world, they still fail to bring to God. As they continue on their sin, as they continue to glorify self. Read from Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When people know God, they continue to give self glory, but God. But for the first time now, God will receive glory because of the coming of His Son. Now the Son of God condescended to the lowest part of creation. He comes to earth, walk in the dusty street of Bethlehem, to walk in that dusty street of Jerusalem, making Himself lower than the angels that God has ever created in His glory. Coming to take upon Himself the form of a sinful man like you and me. Coming to share the glory of God in this world. Coming to shine brighter than the darkness that covers the whole earth. Coming to shine brighter in the hearts of men. The sinful heart, the depraved heart of men. Now we see that the very theme of heaven, the very theme of heaven is now introduced into the world. What is the theme of heaven? The glory of God is now introduced in the earth. Now people are going to know for sure the glory of God. Because God will make sure that His glory is known. As we hear these angels sing, they sing glory in the highest. They sing this joyous doxology, this joyous praise unto God. Glory in the highest. Remember when Adam was created, it was never said glory in the highest. Now you see something different. When Moses was born, the man who led God's people from Egypt, from captivity, when he was born and taking the people to the promised land, it was never said glory in the highest. When David, the man after God's own heart, when he was anointed and said to run and to rule the house of Israel, to become that king who will lead God's people as God's son, it was never said glory in the highest. Indeed, it was never said glory in the highest, or glory when any of us or anybody before us, when he was born. Because man is born in sin. Man is shaped in iniquity. Man is God's enemy, and man cannot bring glory to God in the fullest. But through one gift, God receives His glory. God's glory is now made perfect. God's glory is perfectly manifested in this son, in this child. He tells us that God's end time ruler has come. Kings have gone before. Prophets have come before. They all sinned and they all died. But one king has come. God's end time king. We are not waiting for any other king. God's end time king has come to introduce the kingdom of God, to initiate this wonderful kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to set it up so that we may worship God in truth and in spirit. God has come. The Son has born, the only one who understands the glory of God, the only one who can bring about the glory of God. He has come into the world. If you read in verse number 9, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. We see God's glory shining on the earth. Something brighter coming in. God's glory coming to consume the darkness. Just imagine you were there in that night, that cold night maybe. You're watching your sheep. You're waiting for someone to come and steal your sheep. As you are waiting, as you are ready to fight, in that dark night, something brighter than the sun shone around them. The glory of God is introduced in the world, brighter than anything else that ever was created. Shines around the shepherds, a light brighter than the sun. Something we can never comprehend. Something we do not know. Something we will never know until we get into that place where God is calling us to. Which is why we must always have the desire in our hearts to be where God is calling us to. Where is God calling us to? Is He calling us to a church? Not really. God is calling us to heaven through His church, through the preaching of the gospel, so that one day we may see this glory of God, we may gaze upon His beauty and see Him as He is, so that one day we may see the glory of God face to face, a place in which the Bible tells us there is no need for the sun by day and the moon by night, because God Himself will be the light there. That is what we long for. That is our calling. That's what gives us joy. That is why we say thank you, God, for bringing your Son. Because one day we will see you face to face. Glory in the highest. A phrase of great importance. A phrase which communicates to us that at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were so much sounds and great sounds of praise and great sounds of worship into heaven. And now this great sounds of worship and praise is extended and revealed to these shepherds in that dark night, so that we may know about it, so that we may behold this Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so that we may know what comes with this child. Glory comes with this child. Nothing else but the glory of God. Indeed, a great King is born. Jesus Christ is His name, laying on that Bethlehem's manger. The King of glory comes to reveal the glory of God. What is this glory of God? Well, if you are familiar with your Bible, I'll give you just an illustration, something that will remind you what we're talking about as we speak of the glory of God. If you are familiar with your Bible, you will see that this speaks of the Shekinah glory. There's something that the Old Testament speaks of, the Shekinah glory of God. That glory that dwelt in that tent. As Moses will go in and worship God and pray to God, the Bible tells us that the cloud will be outside and cover the tent of worship. As Moses speaks to God, as men will speak to one another. That Shekinah glory has come into the world through the Son in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God has come to dwell with men so that He may make men dwell with Him. The very Shekinah glory which later build the temple which Solomon built. That Shekinah glory is now made manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible tells us that when Solomon built the temple, if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, you read from verse 1, it says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, so he built the temple, then he dedicated the temple to God. When he finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of God filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's temple. When all the people of Israel saw that fire come down and the glory of the Lord coming into the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavements and worship God and give thanks to God and saying, for God is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. That is that glory that has just come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God. When John the Apostle writes to the church, he says in chapter number 1 in the Gospel of John, verse 14, well-known words, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, full of the glory of God. That is the glory of God. When we come to this church, we say we want to bring glory to God. We are saying, in other words, we want to worship and praise the Lord. We want to live our lives to the glory of God. What we mean by that? We want to live our lives as Jesus has stated how we should live our lives. Bringing glory to God. Offering Him praises. Giving Him those tangible things we can give. Those things that can never replace, can never pay back what He has done, sending His Son into the world. This child glorifies God. Through him, God is glorified in the earth. Through him, God is praised in the heavens. Through him, God is known to the ends of the earth. Through him, the chief end of all creation is revealed. The chief end of all creation is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only now, the heavens will declare the glory of God and the skies above proclaim His handiwork. Not only will the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the God of all hosts." And the earth is full of His glory. Not only that, but now men will bow down, lift up their eyes, worship God, have that delight to come to Him, saying, "To Him be glory forever and ever in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's why the Bible says, in whatever we do, we must give honor to God. In whatever we do, let it be for the glory of God. We must always say to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Can someone say amen?
Amen?
That is what we are able to say now. Something we were never able to say before. When we were swimming in our own sins. When we were eating in that garbage of sin. But now we can say, glory to God. Glory to the high, in the highest. For our God has brought His Son, or He has come Himself unto the earth. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, asked a question, a very beautiful question, which you must know. They say, what is the chief end of man? What is man's greatest purpose? Why did God put man on the earth? The answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Is it not God who says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, to all to the glory of God? Indeed, my friends, for us, there is no greater purpose. For the Christian, there is no greater purpose but to live to the glory of God. To live up to the standards of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, have you glorified God by living for God? Have you glorified God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because only by believing, by trusting, by depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, a man can glorify God. Have you glorified God? Have you glorified God, my friend, by sharing this good news of great joy to your friends, to someone at home, to your family member, to someone on the street, someone that you see is on his way, on his path to destruction? Have you shared this glory of God with others? Have you called someone to Jesus? Turn away from your sin. Come to Him in faith and repentance. Does the breath that you take each and every day, the eyes that you use to see the beautiful world created by God, the ears that you use to hear, does that remind you that there is a God in heaven who deserves all the glory? Psalm 50 verse 23 reads as follows. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. That is exactly what we're doing. That is exactly what we do each and every Sunday. That is exactly what we did on the 16th of November when Pastor Spoo was preaching for us. Glorifying God by giving thanks, saying, Lord, we thank you. We have seen the good things. We are seeing the good things. We are still about to see the good things that you do for us in this church. in our lives, in our families, in our personal lives at work. Those who glorify God by giving thanks to God, he says, to one who orders his way right, I will show the salvation of God. This is the glory of God that shines brighter in the heavens now that the Son of God, or now that God himself, has taken a form of a man, coming in to live among us, coming in to cause men to live for the glory of God, to cause husbands to walk in the glory of God and become better husbands, to cause women to walk in the glory of God, to become better women, better wives, better children, to become the people that God wants us to be. This is the one who comes to make us that kind of people, a people who glorifies God, a people who delights in God, people who live for the glory of God. He comes to shine in the darkness, the dark hearts of men. He comes to awaken men from sleep and never again to continue in their wickedness, and never again to live for personal glory, and never again be unwilling to ascribe the glory due to God. The Son of God comes into the world. Is that how you look at this season that just passed? Is that how you see it? Is that how you remember it? That God sent his Son into the world to bring glory to himself, not just for you. He didn't come for you. Though he saves you, he doesn't save you for you. He saved you for God, because that's the purpose of God. From eternity past, God purposed to save a people. We'll get to that just now. But is that what you see in this season that is just passed? Now never again will unbelief make me waver concerning the promises of God, because the glory of God has come. Never again will unbelief shake me from and to. But in faith, I will grow strong and give glory to God, confessing my sin, upholding him in my heart, and never uphold another. Glory in the highest. Praise be to God. Now men can look at that symbol of glory, the cross of Christ, the cross of suffering, the cross of shame. Now men are able to look there and draw near to God. And you, as you continue to worship and praise God on your daily basis, you realize that God had to come so low, lower than even your standards. Live a life that you will never live. Those who are in this church, if you remember well, we spoke about his life coming from Egypt and going to live in Nazareth, a place or a land so despised. People say nothing good can ever come from Nazareth. Some of you, some of us, we come in lower places. But friends, Jesus Christ went down to even the lowest place of all, because he was in the high place. You see, for you, we are in a low place, but we're born in a low place anyway. But Christ came in a higher place, coming to a low place, coming to redeem you, to win your affection and praise to him. Not because he was missing friends, he didn't have friends, or he didn't have worshippers. No, he didn't come because he was lacking my friends. But the Bible says he came to the praise of his glorious grace. It is for the praise of his glorious grace. Glory in the highest. God's plan of salvation is revealed on the earth. Glory in the highest as the Son of God reconciled men to God. Glory in the highest as he restores that glory which Adam failed to give to God. Glory in the highest as the salvation of God is revealed unto men. Glory in the highest as it is revealed more vividly, more clearly, that salvation is of the Lord. Man does not help in any way. He cannot help in any way, but he needs all the help that he can get. Glory to God. God is doing something. Where we just read this morning, Isaiah 46. He says, I do things as I purpose. I declare the end from the beginning. History happens because I make history to happen. You are here because he made you to be here. Glory to God in the highest. Will you not give glory to God for making you
His Son, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from.
Glory in the highest, as sinners are saved for the glory of God. But secondly, this child who brings glory in the highest brings peace. These angels, they sing on earth.
It's direct now.
On earth, peace.
Well, let me say, some of us who were involved in the struggle fighting the old regime before 1994, we know the words peace and democracy. We don't hear them like people now, they hear of those words. We know those words.
When you were fighting, people will come and ask you, why are you fighting? What is it that you purpose? What is it that you want to achieve? You answer as you are programmed to answer. Peace and democracy.
I can tell you, my friends, I'm almost convinced that we did achieve democracy. But the question still stands. Where is the peace? Where is the peace? Dr. Mandela, our Honorable President, could not give us the peace. Our current Honorable President, Gedalhlekisa Ohlekisayo Zuma, cannot give us the peace. He himself doesn't have peace. He was crying 2 days ago, Jesus must come to solve these problems. No, Mr. President, you don't understand what you're asking for. When Jesus come, you will not be president. When Jesus come, you will be consumed by the wrath of God. She will find you still in your sin, unrepentant, and never embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't know what you're asking for. When Jesus come, you will not be a president. When Jesus come, it is not time for peace and solving things, my friends. When Jesus come, He's come for us. Where is this peace? Everybody promises peace. Barack Obama promised peace. The UN promised peace. And the Bible says peace on earth. But I don't see this peace. Definitely the Bible means something else then. Peace on earth. Where is the peace? Well, the Bible answers, if we want to write this answer, is in Isaiah 48 verse 22. It says, this is God speaking, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace in this world. But he just said peace on earth, or on earth peace. There is no peace for the wicked. But as we contemplate and think of these things, even so, today this verse, verse 14, tells us that at the coming of Jesus Christ, we receive peace. The coming of this Son brought us peace. And those of you who really follow the Bible will realize that this peace is actually what is obtained as Jesus Christ hangs on that cross of suffering and shame, as he hangs there and says, it is finished. That is the peace that we are talking about, as he hangs on that wooden cross, whereby upon him, the Bible says, the chastisement of our peace was laid, where a sacrifice, our reunion with God was offered. And now we believers can experience that reality of peace we long for. Peace with God. That is what this is all about. Peace with God. Not peace with Obama. Not peace with Zuma. Peace with God. Peace with men. Those around us. Peace with one another. But it begins with peace with God. This is what Jesus Christ brings. Peace with God. What does that tell you? You are an enemy of God. That's why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5 verse 6, while we were yet weak, ungodly, Christ died for sinners. God reconciled us. Reconciliation means that there was enmity, but now this enmity is defeated or is taken away. So God reconciled us to himself through the blood of his Son. We're talking about peace with God. The destruction of selfishness among men. The uproot of greediness from the heart of men. Peace which comes to plant love in the place of hatred. The peace of God which surpasses all all understanding. The peace that comes through the eternal blood of the covenant. The peace that comes by the cross of suffering. The peace that comes there by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. On a peace. The peace which flows from God on high. Not the peace which men give. Not temporal peace. Not peace in the absence of war. This is greater than peace in the absence of war. This peace is the peace that symbolizes the destruction of the enmity between men and God. The peace between an offended God and an offending man. That's what we are good at, offending God. Peace with God. Peace that cannot be broken. Peace that cannot be taken away. Peace that adopts us to the family of God. What does it mean for you to be called a Christian? It means you belonging to a family. A family of God. This peace adopts you to the family of God. Pause for a minute. Think about the next statement I'll give it to you now. Pause for a second and think about this. The angels makes it clear as they sing that though God's offer of peace goes to all, it goes to everyone, only His chosen people. The people who receive Jesus Christ and trust and depend upon Him. Only those receive this peace. Those who will make Jesus, actually they don't make Him because He is. Those who will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, as the Christ. Those who will live their life according to the standards of God. Those who will worship and honor Him day by day. Only those people receive this peace in their hearts because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you read very careful, on at peace among those with whom He is pleased. A more clear translation of the verse. On at peace towards men of whom His good pleasure rests. Peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased. Definitely, like I was saying, this is not world peace. But the peace of God in the hearts of believing women and men. The peace of God which Jesus speaks of. He addresses His disciples saying in the book of John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. This is the supernatural reconciling peace of God. Peace of conscience. Knowing for sure that you are set right with God. Knowing for sure that you have a future with God. Peace within the soul of men surrounded by worldly troubles. Peace in your lack, peace in your want, peace in your sick bed, peace in your dead bed. The peace of conscience, the peace that reminds your soul that all is well. The peace that reminds your soul that in your Father's house there are many rooms, even if you don't have a room in this world. The peace of God that flows like a river and attendeth your soul. It says, peace on earth or on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. It is the believer, my friend, who experiences God's peace. It is the believer who experiences God's goodwill, God's kindness, God's benevolences. It is the believer unto whom God's good pleasure rests. In Christ, God purposely, not by chance, purposely give peace to a particular people. Purposely. And that purpose is driven by His grace. Not in what we do, in what we are. Peace He gives to those in whom He is pleased. In Christ, He purposely justifies the sinner. What does that mean? Justification. It means He makes you to stand before Him as though you never sinned. How is that possible? Because then someone else must take your sin and put them upon His shoulders. That He may die and suffer for your sin. So that God, when He looks at you, then He doesn't see that you are a sinner. Because your sins are written and imprinted in the body of Christ. When He looks in Christ, He sees your sin. And when He looks at you, He sees Christ's righteousness in you. Purposely justifies those sinners. The very people who rebelled against Him. Not special people, sinners, great sinners, people who chose sin and the devil instead of God. He comes to justify you. He graciously shows kindness towards them. How does he do that? He draws you to himself. He works behind the scene like a puppet master. You know a puppet master, those people who make puppets and they put strings. You see these puppets dancing, but they're pulling the strings. God pulls strings behind your life, setting you in the path of righteousness, calling you unto himself through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Working behind sin, calling you, what love is this? Calling a sinner like me, who deserve nothing but hell, what love is this? Calling rapists, calling hookers, prostitutes, whatever word you want to use, drunkards, calling homosexuals, thieves, robbers, calling them to himself, working behind the scene, set you on the righteous path of God, that you may hear the gospel at the right time, that your ears may be opened and say, Lord, now I hear. For the first time, you begin to see your sin and see Jesus. And Jesus is more attractive. For the first time, you see your sins as they are, grievous before God. But you don't cry and run around. You say, Lord, I was blind, now I can see. I was lost, now I am found. This is the peace that brings such things to you. This is God's kindness. This is God's electing love towards individual people, each and every member of His church. God's electing love before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that is not now. It happened before the foundation of the earth. It didn't look towards the end and say, one day someone is going to choose me. So I love this person because he's going to choose me. Now I choose the person. He says, no, I'm looking. I see nothing but sinners. Read Psalm chapter 58. I see nothing but sinners in this world. Read Genesis chapter 6. The Lord saw nothing but wickedness continually in the hearts of men. But even so, he looked and see these things. But he says, among them, I will have a people who will worship me. How gracious is God? How gracious is our Lord to call me? I still ask this every day because I know me, but God. This is His electing love from the foundation of the world. This is peace, an expression of His unconditional choice. It is an expression of His unconditional election towards each and every person from every tribe and every nation, not just the Jews. Every tribe, every people of this world, God unconditionally chose. God unconditionally elected. Chose to save you. Chose to save me. Chose to give you peace. This peace is an expression of His definite redemption. That surely, whatever happens, God will save His people. That's what the Bible says. The stars may fall, the sun may be darkened, the moon may disappear, trouble may overwhelm your soul, but God will save His people. God saves His people. That is why you're sitting here. This peace is an expression of His grace which overcomes our resistance towards the gospel. Because we are a people who are born resistors. We are resistant towards the gospel. Nobody likes the gospel. Remember the first time the gospel was preached to you? You smiled to the preacher, maybe, but you didn't take what he was saying. You continued in your sin. You resisted this gospel. But this glorious grace of God, this peace, overcomes this resistance in our hearts. Finally, you find yourself coming to Jesus and says, Lord, you are God. You don't even know how it happened, because God graciously works in your life, setting you to this path of righteousness, making us a people who delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. We delight in what God delights in. We delight in Christ, making us those who are saved by His precious blood, those who are kept in Him eternally. This is the peace of God. The peace that teaches us, the peace that teaches you to put Christ in the center of your life.
It is this peace that makes you delight and put Christ in the center of your life. You will rather have Jesus than silver or gold. You will rather have Jesus than worldly fame. That is in your heart. You sometimes desire these things of the world, but you know you would rather have Christ. Is it not so in your heart? You know you would rather have Jesus. You want this big car. You want that, but I would rather have Jesus. The peace of God that satisfies my soul. The peace of God that brings me to peace within me, peace with myself. The question is that you, my friend, is He in the center of your life? Do you delight in Him? Is your resistance towards the gospel overpowered or overcome by this gracious grace of God already? Have you come to Him? Have you come to Him in faith and repentance? Are you born from above? Have you experienced this peace? Because maybe you do not have rest in your life. Maybe you do not have rest day and night. You are filled with fear and anxiety. You are uncertain about your future. You don't know where you will go from here. You are filled with guilt. You feel cast down and in despair. Maybe that is you. Maybe you don't have this peace within you. Maybe you don't have this peace in your home. You don't have this peace in your family. You don't have this peace with fellow men. Maybe the question is it not because you don't have peace with God, that is why you don't have peace with yourself and peace with someone else? Is it not because you don't have peace with God? Is it not because you have not allowed this Prince of Peace Himself to lavish you with peace? Is it not because you are not living to the glory of God? Is it not the reason why you have peace? You have no peace within yourself? Ask it correctly, you will see. Maybe that is why I don't have peace. It is because I don't have peace with God. Maybe this is why I'm suffering. Maybe this is why I hate people. This is why I don't forgive. This is why I don't forget. I don't have the peace of God within my heart. Have you come to this peace, my friend? Because the world around us, this is what the Bible says about them. Isaiah 59 verse 8. Listen to what God says. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their path. They have made their roads crooked. No one who turns on them knows peace. There is no peace in this world. Peace is with God. You have this peace. The peace that sets men at peace with God. The peace that sets men at peace with one another. The peace which causes men and women to gladly become so humble before God and humble towards one another. Nobody tells you, wife, respect your husband, honor. Nobody tells you that. It comes as God's peace. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave Himself up for her. Do you give yourself up for your wife? Children, respect your parents, because that is fitting with the Lord. That's the peace of God. Making a family a family. Making a people a people. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It causes men to empty themselves for the glory of God. To live for the glory of God. To reflect that they are under the control, divine control of God. This peace does not come to you, my friend, because you are good boys and good girls. It's God's kindness towards you. It's God's goodwill. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1, in Him we are chosen. Let me read you this verse. Then it says, in love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. Read verse 5 and 6. Start from 4. He predestined us in love. Not because we are good, but He loved us. A God who loves sinners, to give sinners peace, so that we may rise today and say, God, I want this peace. God, may You lavish me with this peace. God, may You set me right with You, that I may have peace in my heart. In other words, my friends, He did not leave you to yourself, because if God had to leave you to yourself, you would not have come to this peace. I'm telling you now. But He calls you to Himself.
So he took the first initiative, my friends, to call you by raising you from your spiritual dead, and then gave you that power to respond to the gospel of grace. He raised you from the dead. He gives you power to respond. Then you begin to exercise the power to respond. You see yourself saying, Lord, save me, I am a sinner. But it is because Jesus raised you first from the dead. Because you are dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead to what? Like someone in a mortuary, like a corpse lying helplessly. That's what you are. Dead. But Christ raised us and give you the power to respond. Now you stand here, you say, when I chose Jesus, my friend, he chose you first before you chose him. That love, that's not acts of works and righteous, self-righteousness. Then he makes you to choose him, to trust in him, to believe on him. And for the first time you see him as he is. For the first time you come to glorify God. For the first time you say, Lord, I know I'm a mortal man. Lord, I know I am finite. I am low, you are high. I am wrong, you are right. For the first time, we see that. Why? Because we've got the peace of God. Why? Because Christ hanged on that cross and called us to himself. This peace of the gospel we received at the conviction of sin, whereby the gospel drives the lost man to cry for pardon with God until that peace is fully experienced and enjoyed in Christ. So this morning, my friend, you must take advantage of this glorious peace. You must take advantage of this glorious grace of God, the offer of peace. You must come to God, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to receive your peace. Come rest in him. Come take his yoke, because his yoke is easy. And learn from him. Come to this gentle Savior. Come to this lowly, humble Savior. Come quench your thirst. Let your heart be flooded with his living water. Come drink from him. Come be at peace with God. Come declare the glory of the living God by living for God. Take hold of this peace of God. Take hold of this attitude of God towards man. God's attitude towards man is peace. Grab that peace while it still lasts. While he can be found. Let us all, brethren, sing together with the angels. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let us respond to God. Let us respond to this glorious grace by confessing our sins, by upholding him closely and dear in our hearts, living in the light of Christ, living in the light of the gospel. Let us be those of faith and repentance. Let us be those who are called by his name. Those who walk in righteousness. Those who are in peace and at peace with God. At peace with one another. Glory to God. The Christ brings glory to God. Is even seen in the highest as he comes. As he will come and save men and give them peace. Those in whom he is pleased. He raised them from the dead. Give them the power to respond. They respond. And then that is why we come here each and every Sunday. To give glory to God. Is that your purpose, my friend? To give glory to God. I pray that your purpose become to glory to God, to glorify God this year. Speaking like the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me praise his holy name. May the good God bless us as we contemplate on these things. Amen. Our gracious God, our Father who is in heaven, we are thankful, O Lord, for the reminder from your word. It is all about you, O God. It is all about giving you glory, O Heavenly Father. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to glorify you, sing you praise, and says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the end of the earth. Come bring glory to God. As the heavens declares the glory of God, let all men stand and sing to God. Glory to you, our God. Holy, holy is the Lamb who sits on the throne. Thank you, Father, for the peace that we received through Jesus Christ. The peace with God, peace with fellow men, peace with one another, the peace that directs our life, the peace that satisfies us, the peace in which we delight. Oh, precious God, open our ears. Open our mouth as we long to glorify you in this church, in our private times, wherever we are. We ask all these things in the name of your Son. Speak again and again. Echo these words in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. May we all say Amen.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. We all say Amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord bless you. Thank you for visiting us. Those who visit, hope you are blessed. See you next week.